Subsection 2 talks about to carry out any rehabilitation or conservation work in an urban renewal area. And is it your opinion that the rehabilitation of these buildings in partnership with the county would qualify under that provision?
Correct, assuming that, the other requirements related to public building findings are present, and we have added those to the plan. So that's correct.
And again, just because we have the benefit of you as the general counsel here to advise us, is this a close question of law, or are we operating within the mainstream here, in your opinion?
With respect to the county buildings,
yes.
I think the legal basis is solid.
And then we'll be making some findings with respect
right.
to our
right.
resolution. Okay, thank you.
Other questions from the council? Hey, how many folks do we have signed to testify?
On 8:13, we have 9 people left.
Hey, did you wish to call up the folk, the opponents at this time? Out of those 9 people signed up to testify?
It's your call. The if they're also going to be here on 8:16, we might want to do a one-stop shopping. It makes more sense, I think, to we defer to the witnesses, but my preference would be to have the critics on 8:16 testify as a group under that and give them perhaps a little additional time.
And that's what we have done in the past. I just want to make sure that it wasn't on the 8:13, 14, or 15 that you also wish to have
no.
that. So we're going to call up the 9 people who wish to testify to the issues pertinent to items 8:13, 14, and 15. The item 8:16, we will provide opportunity for testimony succeeding the discussion on these. So the public testimony is restricted to those 3 items for this particular purpose. We will have public testimony on 8:16 following. So please call the first 3 people.
I have then 10 more people. We had separate sign-up sheets for 8:15 and 8:14. So I'll start with 8:13. And the first 3 are Terry Parker, Lindy Sen, and Mary Wiley. They'll be followed by Edmundo Cardenas, Veronica Vernier, and Donis McArdle.
Thank you for being here, folks. When you speak, state your name for the record. You each have 3 minutes, and your testimony is restricted to item 8:13, which is the expiration of the downtown waterfront district. So anybody can begin.
Well, I rolled all my testimony into one, and hopefully it's 3 minutes.
On 8:13, 14, and 15?
I don't know what the numbers are, but as far as the urban renewal extensions,
Okay.
I think it's about 3 minutes, and if you'll bear with me,
Please.
I apologize, but I didn't know that there was a whole bunch of different
yes.
different things.
Oh,
okay.
Yes.
My name's Terry Parker. I'm a Portland resident and taxpayer. By extending the life of an urban renewal district, you are breaking a contract that was made with Portland taxpayers when it was created. That contract, in basic terms, was for a specific number of years. Taxpayers would subsidize city services for truly blighted area, and then in return, taxpayers will reap the benefits of higher property taxes, contributing to the general fund from improving that area as a payback for those subsidies. By extending the life of a contract, many taxpayers who have paid into this scheme with their tax dollars will be dead by the time it expires and payback occurs. It should not take an entire lifetime for the now paying taxpayers to receive financial benefits as promised. Portland taxpayers are not an infinite bottomless pit of funding that can be continually tapped for personal, special agendas, and pet projects. Much of the existing infrastructure in Portland is crumbling, the streets and roads, the sewer, water systems, and the schools. The increased tax dollars from retired urban renewal districts need to be going to the city's general fund and to Multnomah County to be used to fix and repair this infrastructure, not for more special interest projects such as streetcars, bicycle bridges, and fancy couplets. Furthermore, in these times where the cost of living is raising faster than the working class income, and many taxpayers are just getting by, the city does not need to be subsidizing high roller developers and their big high-end affluent projects. Given the fast pace in which energy costs are rising, even relocating the main post office must not be a given and should be reconsidered. It is currently centrally located, easy for employees to get there, and next to a main rail line. Relocating the facility near the airport may be a big mistake given the distance from the central city, the costs of fuel, and the future costs associated with air transportation. A real possibility exists that to control expenses, inner-city mail may again be transported by the railroads. Additionally, there is a footprint, energy use, and some negative environmental effects to constructing any new facility. And finally, if an urban renewal district extension is granted and a circle is drawn around on a map to fund a new David Douglas school district, then too must a circle be drawn around every Portland public school needing renovation on the east side between I-205 and the Willamette River, along with another circle drawn on the map around the ailing Selwood Bridge. Not only do these additional circles provide some tax equity for central east side and inner east side property taxpayers, but fixing and replacing the Selwood Bridge is far more important to the needs of the region than constructing a new light rail streetcar bridge across the river. East side property taxpayers should not twice be manipulated to fund both urban renewal subsidies and infrastructure upgrades. The bottom line is that no extension to urban renewal district should be granted, and the original contract sold to taxpayers needs to be honored. And one other quick note, I remember sitting here approximately 20 years ago relocating the Greyhound station down near Union Station. 20 years is not a very long time for a facility to exist. It seems like we're not planning ahead very far if we want to take it down now. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Lindy Sohn. Hello, Mayor Potter. Actually, I'm a resident downtown, and Portland is beautiful. I think that the architecture is all unique, and I've lived here and appreciated it for all of these years now. I think that drastic changes, I think that immediate drastic changes is a detriment, and I live here, so I also like to appreciate my city. It's accessible. It's substantial. It's stability. I think that those things are important in just a lifestyle. You make some decisions on where you want to live according to what is capable or what is capable means in your community. What is going to be a standard that you can live by and keep that up and maintain it individually? You have to make decisions that are going to comply with what you think is a reasonable way to live. Presently, we have that downtown, and I really appreciate it. I think that the history of our park blocks. The buildings are unique, but the history of our park blocks is the oldest trees that we have right here in our state. They can't be disturbed. I think that would be a terrible thing to happen. I actually like living here. I intend to live here for a long time. I appreciate it just like it is. I would be fine if there were no changes. And the buildings are real sound. The buildings are really sound structures here. They have a lot of stability in them. Changing them doesn't improve them. No demolishments, no desecrations, and no desecrations. Keep our existing buildings here. I think that they're important.
Hi, my name is Mary Wiley, and I moved to Portland in 1975. I'm a speech pathologist. I drove through downtown Portland and said, this is where I want to live. And I bought my first home in the Southeast Hawthorne area in 1991. And I go into downtown quite often. And I love the downtown area. I think I need to express my concerns about keeping a balance in making your decisions about urban renewal versus infrastructure versus needs for education versus maintaining a diversity of population and what they need here in this city. I practically yesterday looked at Portland and was surprised to look at myself as an educated speech pathologist that I probably could not afford to buy a home in Portland now. And that was kind of a stunning feeling. I thought, if I can't buy a home in Portland, who can? And what I'm seeing, I was very encouraged when I heard about renewal plans for what you are calling affordable housing. I heard multiple references to it in this discussion in downtown Portland. It sounds good, but I wonder what it really means. And what is it, when you're talking about blight, when you're talking about renewal, and Mayor Potter, I want to make a reference to your support of developing a vision, because if we don't have vision and make practical plans tied to a vision, we end up with knee-jerk actions in order to have enough jobs for people or places to live, and things start getting out of balance. And I think that means we need to have a plan where we think in terms of a interconnected system to keep a balance. And what I'm concerned about is, are we keeping a balance of our decisions in all these areas, including urban renewal, or are we mostly upscaling Portland to provide jobs for present and projected incoming upper-income people? And the majority of people I talk to feel like that is what's happening to Portland. And when I looked at the reality that I could not afford a home in Portland, I really am wondering if this is what you're saying you're going to do in downtown Portland. Sounds good in some ways, but I'm really wondering what we are creating, and I am very concerned because I love this city. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next three are Edmundo Cardenas, Veronica Bernier, and Donna McArdle. Veronica? Okay, how about a Joseph? I believe the last name is Codes. Robert Butler?
Please call the next name.
That's all for 813.
Okay. Please go ahead, sir.
Mayor Potter, commissioners, my name is Edmundo Cardenas, Ed Cardenas. I've been here about 5 years, lived in L.A. for 59 years, thereabouts. I was a librarian 20 years, some of the tougher areas in L.A. I always stipulated that when I went to work. Came up here, emergency. I was, my nice neighborhood was taken over by a gang, an old gang, the grandchildren of the original gang. Came up here, 9-day ride on a bus, and settled in Gresham. Pretty soon, I'll just make this quick because this is not what I really want to talk about. I had to call every single police jurisdiction, everyone, to come down. And I told them, come down, this is going on. We got kids coming into our property, not my property, the apartment house, selling drugs, 13-year-olds, 3 o'clock in the morning. So pretty soon, in a couple of weeks, we had a beautiful parade of all sorts of marked cars, all the different jurisdictions, and even more unmarked cars. The next morning, some of the guys were out there drinking their Coors, their morning breakfast, and I said, if you keep dealing to these kids, you're going to end up booted down to Tijuana, across the border. You'll never come back. Okay? Prologue. Anyway, I worked on the streets of Portland for 3 years pro bono to thank Portland for home, my new adopted city, Oregon, my new adopted state. I'm not an urban gypsy. I did a lot of volunteer work in LA, but I'm not an urban gypsy. That was my home. This is my home now. For 3 years, I got to work on the streets, and I saw, and pardon this expression, the underbelly of Portland. A lot of it is caused by people, not just the criminals or not just the occasional quote-unquote dopers, the people that are on the street. And for whatever reason, this very morning that I come to talk to you folks, I didn't know I was going to do this. A friend invited me to come on down to say my piece. I was over at Julia West, where I volunteer. Julia West House, sponsored by the First Presbyterian Church, that church with a tall, tall spire that's covered in copper. I was there having my coffee in a room too full of people, basically for fire rules, but, you know, that's the only place. People have been swept off the street, mostly men, few women, put in there. You got to be 21 and over. Anyway, that's wrong. These people should have a home. I'm gratified that things are happening here. I'm not sure exactly what. It's hard to follow everything. I do try to keep abreast of
Sir, things. Your time is up.
Okay.
Mr. Butler, I thought you've already testified to the items we're addressing today. Mr. Butler? You said in your both written and your oral testimony that you were going to discuss all of items 812 through 618, and I assume that that was the testimony that you gave earlier because it did relate to all these other issues as well.
There are new issues based on the former testimony, sir, that I would like 3 minutes for, and since this is a different agenda item, I'm requesting it.
I'm going to give you 2 minutes because you did say that you were speaking to all of the items on the agenda. So please take your 2 minutes.
Portland was blessed by the National Historic Trust Convention here a few years ago. And when they were here, they brought back the head of the urban development staff from Harvard. He was in charge of urban development for Harvard. He came out and spoke. He says, one thing that happens all over the country is that cities typically take the best property in the city, turn it into their own projects, take a private side project, buy it, turn it into a public project. And because it's in the most promising development part of the city, they do it and they look like heroes because look what I did, look at the skyline, I did all this by myself. I think I'll give you an example of that. First of all, at the same time I hear people complain, these are developers saying, it's a shame that we would like to do these projects and the Portland Development Commission comes along and overbids us. They pay more than market value. That increases the appraised value over time, inflates land values, makes private side development more difficult. Let's give an example of private sector side that works. Conway, private side, okay? All right, here's what the city's going to do. The U.S. Post Office, what are we going to do there? We're going to give the federal government 50% more than it's worth. And that's determined by, first, we value it by independent valuation, and then we're going to give them 50% more. That's, you know, that's a windfall. That's a windfall. Who gets that windfall? Who gets it? Federal government. Who should get it? Citizens of Portland. That windfall should be put into the project instead of given to the federal government. That inflates the value. That takes the opportunities for development away from the private side. I just got back from a national convention, 50,000 people. I told them about the post office developers, 50,000 people, ICSE. We would love to know about that project. Why ruin it by paying 50% more than it's worth when we have private side people who love to have it? Thank you.
And do we have another list now?
Thank you, sir. We have one person on 814 who already spoke on 813.
Okay.
So 815, we have about 8 people signed up. The first 3 are Becky Stewart, Bob Ames, and Nilsen Abil. Hold on, Veronica.
Would you read the three names again,
please?
It's Becky
Stewart, Bob Ames, and Nilsen Abil. Is he coming?
Please read the next name.
He's coming.
Okay.
The next three are Oliver Norville, Jeff Tashman, and Barbara Fredericks.
Folks, thank you for being here. When you speak, please state your name for the record, and you each have 3 minutes. Please
thank you. Members of the council, Mayor Potter, my name is Becky Stewart. I am president of Ask Me Local 88 and proud and honored to represent nearly 2,700 employees from Multnomah County, Central City Concerns, Transition Projects, and American Friends Service Committee. Along with city workers, we work in the community providing services to citizens, mental health, juvenile services, community health clinics, probation and parole, aging services, libraries, and much, much more. I'm speaking today in support of the River District Plan Amendment. Specifically, it applies to the McCoy Building, the Mead Building, and the Lincoln Building. Local 88 staff work in all three. However, the conditions in the Mead and the McCoy are very poor. Both buildings are old and have numerous problems, both external and internal. In one specific situation, staff ended up by being relocated because the air quality and other problems in their workspace. They couldn't be improved despite the efforts of County Facilities Unit, which worked to resolve the problems. Over half of the program staff were having health issues, which did get resolved once they moved to another space. We've received numerous complaints and in some situations filed grievances due to the building conditions. Both buildings need to be gutted and rebuilt from the inside out. I'd ask your support for this amendment, which will support the staff and the members of Local 88, help us get out of these old buildings so that we can continue to focus on providing quality services to the citizens of Portland. Thank you very much.
I'm Bob Ames. Despite what you may have read, I'm not here simply as a Pearl District property owner, but as someone that's been long involved in the public process where urban renewal has been used as a tool. Subsequent to my tenure as a PDC commissioner and chair, I served as president of the Port of Portland for 9 years, during which time it declared Terminal 1 redundant and funded a study which gave rise to the idea of combining Terminal 1 with the Burlington Northern properties and PDC-owned Union Depot, as well as other properties in the area for what became, I think we'd all agree, a classic urban renewal project and one that's been successful. I was later appointed by the then mayor to chair the River District Steering Committee. Most recently, I've been referred to as a geographic elitist by a member of the council, and I don't know quite what that means, so hopefully Commissioner Leonard will explain it sometime. But I'm here today before you because there's an issue that I obviously feel very strongly about. I think you're all aware of that. And this is what I and many others feel is a pending misuse of urban renewal funds. Apart from what some of us recognize as a serious legal question surrounding your pending action, my objection is also based on it being way outside what I've always believed were the spirit and intent of urban renewal as a tool. It's safe to say that those of us in and around and involved during the genesis of this mechanism believed that successful renewal sunsetted at an appropriate time and it was used for needed projects within a defined area. And then the increased tax collections reverted to the support of basic services, all of which I think today need that kind of support. And last, to the extent that anyone cares, and I testified in front of the Portland Development Commission in this regard, this is not an action that would have been taken during my time, and certainly not one that our council would have advised us to take. Let me just finally read the first paragraph of a letter that we'll submit today. My assistant has multiple copies with a great many attachments. That paragraph is as follows. The undersigned Friends of Urban Renewal and concerned citizens of the City of Portland and leaders in the area of urban renewal law and policy in Oregon as a group and individually oppose the city's proposed amendments of the River District Urban Renewal Plan. Attached to this letter are copies of our prior letters to the Portland Development Commission, a memorandum from City Attorney Linda Meng, a letter from the Central East Side Industrial Council, a letter from Portland Business Alliance, an article from the Portland Tribune, two editorials from the Oregonian, and one from the Portland Tribune. Please place this letter with its attachments in the record of materials for this proceeding. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. My name is Nelson Nabil. I reside at 1325 Northwest Flanders Street in the Pearl District, and I want to introduce myself as a geographic elitist who moved to Portland from Park Avenue, New York, and bought a blighted warehouse on a dirt street that is now become part of a federal historic district. My wife and I renovated that building with our own personal funds as it was unfinanceable. And just to admit my takings from urban renewal funds, we actually later on in the preservation of our building went to the urban renewal funds and we reinstalled a historic steel canopy, which the urban renewal funds helped us pay for. I am a founder of the Pearl District Neighborhood Association. I was the chair of it for 6 years. I have been very active in watching this River District urban renewal area develop. And I am appalled and astounded that City Council is considering the idea that within the laws of the state of Oregon urban renewal areas and districts that you are going to treat urban renewal areas as a bucket of money that can be picked up and taken and placed anywhere. I think if you are on a slippery slope legally, city attorney has registered those slippery pieces of this proposed idea of creating unrelated and uneconomically developable sites 7 or 8 miles away from an urban renewal district, which is defined by law. And I just want to point out to you that you've heard testimony today about the additional projects within the River District, and I wanted to be sure that you understood that there are even a couple more that are going to take the attention of possible urban renewal money that should stay in our district. One is the Customs House on the North Park blocks, and the other is the extension of the North Park blocks in the parking lot of the 511 Northwest Broadway building, which has been committed to by Portland to be an extension of the North Park blocks. The River District has been a success, both because of private development and because it is an urban renewal district. It has created residential density, both in market and in housing authority of Portland. It has, more importantly, created office and employment and cultural institutions. And that's what urban renewal areas are about. When you try to steal from them, you are trying not to complete what has been a success. I have great sympathy with the rest of Portland, but in the River District, we have created an economic model.
Mayor, can I just get a clarification? Is it your intent, Mr. Ames, and your estimable assistant, Mr. Abiel, to come back when we take up the next item?
Well,
because you've alluded to the satellite district and some legal issues. We're technically now addressing the prior resolutions. Do you intend to come back and flesh out your concerns with respect to the satellite district issue?
In deference to time, I think, Commissioner, the material that we're submitting will cover both.
Okay.
So,
are you going to remain for that discussion?
Yeah.
Okay, because I haven't had a chance to see what you're submitting, but if we have additional questions, we may call you back up.
This has been handed in to the clerk.
In the future, please give them to the council clerk.
Yeah, we've given them.
Well, but that, yes, but she gives them to us.
Okay. We'd like to give them to the absent members.
Please call the next.
Next three are Oliver Norville, Jeff Tashman, and Barbara Fredericks. They'll be followed by Shelley Lorenzen, Paul Verhoeven, and Veronica Bernier.
When you speak, please state your name for the record. You each have 3 minutes. We'll begin with you, sir.
Thank you. I've distributed a statement which each of you will receive, and I'll read from the statement to, in the interest of time. My name is Oliver Norville. I'm a retired attorney. I served as legal counsel to the Portland Development Commission from the time of its organization in 1958 until 1986 and assisted in drafting the charter amendment which created the Portland Development Commission. I was actively involved in the passage of the constitutional amendment which authorized the use of tax increment financing in the state of Oregon. I drafted and presented to the legislature legislation implementing tax increment financing. I appeared before the legislature over a period of more than 20 years defending urban renewal and tax increment financing against claims of abuse in many cities throughout Oregon and drafted much of the legislation which is presently contained in the statute which responds to the suggested abuses. Over the last 50 years, I have represented many agencies throughout the state of Oregon carrying out urban renewal programs utilizing tax increment financing. For some time, I have been concerned about the use of tax increment financing by the Portland Development Commission and the City of Portland. I expressed my concern on a number of occasions to legal counsel for the Portland Development Commission and on at least one occasion to the city attorney. These concerns involved the use of tax increment finances for programs and activities which went beyond the ordinary urban renewal programs and were a benefit to the community as a whole rather than to the urban renewal area contained in the plan. When I learned that the Portland Development Commission, the City of Portland, were proposing to establish a satellite district and expend funds for the construction of a new school, it was my opinion that such an action was illegal and the worst abuse of tax increment financing which has come to my attention. If this proposed action is permitted to proceed, I believe it could result in the complete abolishment of tax increment financing in the state of Oregon. The tax increment tool has been very beneficial to many communities throughout Oregon, as well as to the city of Portland. I think the loss of tax increment financing as a tool to remove blight and run down areas throughout Oregon would be extremely harmful to many communities in the state. For the above reasons, I strongly oppose an amendment to the river plan, which would permit financing for school purposes in a non-contiguous area and unrelated to the purpose for which the plan was prepared. I also oppose amendments which would expand the boundaries of the plan. The proposed amendments are not well-defined and do not meet the legal requirements of the statute. I trust that the Council will consider all of the objections made by me and others who are opposing the proposed amendments to the river plan and will not adopt the amendments providing for school financing in satellite areas, which do not specifically meet the requirements of law. When the purpose of an urban renewal plan have been met and the conditions of blight have been removed from an area financed with tax increment funds, the project and plan should be terminated and the assessed value returned to the tax roll for the benefit of the various taxing bodies affected. To continuously amend the plan to incorporate new activities which do not meet the primary test of removing blight are improper and result in the use of funds which properly belong to the various taxing bodies. Tax increment financing was sold to the people of the state of Oregon to the legislature on the basis of it being a self-liquidated program which financed itself and which upon completion would result in a benefit to the entire community. To utilize these funds in a manner inconsistent with this purpose is to violate the trust given to the Urban Renewal Agency by the people and the legislature.
Thank you.
My name is Jeff Tashman. I am a consultant in urban renewal and a citizen of Portland. I know that the issues that you're dealing with today, you've devoted a lot of energy over a long period of time, and there is momentum to keep these things moving forward. I would like to ask that you consider the seriousness, the weight of the issues that are being raised to you, and consider the possibility of revisiting these plans, the proposed amendments for the River District, in order to resolve some of the issues that are being brought up. My background is I've been in the field of urban renewal for 29 years, the last 17 as a consultant. Up until very recently, the Portland Development Commission was a regular client of mine. I helped the Portland Development Commission write the River District Urban Renewal Plan in 1998. I've helped them on many projects before and since. From a policy standpoint, as well as a legal standpoint, when a city council considers a substantial amendment to an urban renewal plan, you're considering two to the River District. From a policy perspective, you're supposed to take stock of the urban renewal district and see how things have gone compared to the original expectations. And the usual rationale for extending or expanding the financial scope of an urban renewal area is that it's still blighted, that the program of projects that were in the original plan haven't produced the desired effects, and that more investment and more time is needed to accomplish the original objectives. That is not the case with the River District. In your proposed amendments, that issue is completely glossed over. In the report that is supposed to document conditions of blight, there's one sentence that says, well, the conditions of blight in the existing area were reported 10 years ago. Well, there have been some changes in that district. So the key here is River District is no longer blighted to the extent that the remaining $106 million that you have to spend there couldn't address it. Now, I've done a lot of work on the state level, and the argument that has worked for urban renewal against attacks from a wide variety of opponents has been that urban renewal identifies problems in an area, it fixes those problems, and then it goes away. I don't see us being able to make that argument if you take the actions approving these amendments. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Mayor Potter, Commissioner Saltzman, Commissioner Fish. I'm Barbara Fredericks. I'm the first vice president of the League of Women Voters of Portland. How Portland uses its urban renewal authority has been a top priority concern for the League for years. Our member volunteers have devoted countless hours attending meetings, studying reports, and conferring with experts. We have urged the PDC and the City Council to use urban renewal financing judiciously because of the impact it has on the schools and on county and city services. We have also urged the PDC and City Council to return districts revitalized with urban renewal monies to the property tax rolls as soon as possible, so that the sacrificing taxing districts can reap the promised benefits of our urban renewal investments. The Portland Tribune's June 12 editorial made a compelling case for completing the River District Urban Renewal Plan within the original indebtedness of the $225 million. The Tribune's editorial states, and I'm going to quote, "Urban renewal as it is being practiced in Portland is an issue that touches the wallets of just about everyone who pays property taxes in Multnomah County and arguably within the entire state. The decision that the Portland City Council is slated to make to extend the life of the River District urban renewal area until 2027 raises a number of questions about the appropriate use of such districts," end quote. The editorial articulates well the rationale for diverting tax revenues from our schools, from our county and city funds, and investing them in urban renewal projects. I'm going to read the quote again. "The rationale is that these jurisdictions will make small, short-term sacrifices in their tax revenues so that blighted areas can be revitalized, but they will recoup that money and more when the urban renewal area is terminated and all new development comes back on the tax rolls. This rationale only holds up, though, if property is returned to the tax rolls." End of that quotation. Like the Tribune and other thoughtful voices, many of which we've heard today, the League calls for finishing the River District within its $225 million and returning the newly created $1 billion plus in assessed value to the tax rolls. We appreciate that more projects could be accomplished with the proposed additional spending, including low-income housing, which the League supports. But residents in those buildings need county services. They need good schools and other support to succeed. Ending the River District on time and as promised will allow the public to reap the rewards of its long-term investment in the area and stay true to the intent of Oregon's urban renewal statute. Thank you.
Yes, just a
second. I'm sorry, in the off chance that you're not back for the next item that we're taking up, I want to, if I could, take a moment to ask you a couple questions, because I thought your testimony was very thoughtful. Starting with you, Mr. Tishman, as I listen to you talk about the challenge of determining when blight has been cured, mm-hmm. it reminded me of a larger societal debate we have about when has affirmative action achieved its goals.
Mm-hmm.
And we have the same public discussion about what's the trigger, what's the moment where we say that some task has been completed, and in this case, there could be a statutory consequence of that. So my question is, what in your judgment is the proper measurement of when blight has been sufficiently cured that it would be inappropriate to either extend or amend a district or proceed further?
Well, I wish there was a really clear-cut answer to that. It's very dependent on the facts. I think that the judgment that the River District is not blighted is based, I don't see it as like a fine distinction where there's some clear criteria and this situation just manages to meet those criteria for when it's finished. This is a district that is the most visibly successful urban renewal district in the history of the state, certainly in the last 25 years. And it's an issue that the city of Portland City Council has gone on record in resolutions adopted by this commission stating that the River District has been an unparalleled success. So when I'm saying that I don't believe the River District is blighted, first of all, I'm saying there aren't conditions of blight that couldn't be addressed within the remaining resources. There are substantial remaining resources. So I'm not arguing it should be stopped. But I think by any standard that anybody would likely come up with in terms of assessed value, jobs, economic vitality, adequacy of public facilities, the River District does not meet. You could not go to the River District today and find it blighted for the purpose of a new urban renewal plan. And what's in front of you has gotten around that problem by just saying, well, we found it blighted 10 years ago and it's still blighted.
Thank you. And Mr. Norville, you're not related to Darcy Norville, are you?
Who? Yeah, I am. I'm related to all the Norvilles.
Oh, you are? I'm a big fan of your niece, cousin, daughter, whatever. Question I had for you is, you've been identified in the media as being a kind of a purist on these questions. And I'm curious, if the proposal before council was to use tax increment financing money to construct an elementary school within the River District, would your position change?
I think it'd be a much closer question, and to the extent that it was determined that it was a very needed facility, it could support a possibility of at least a portion of that cost. In the federal program, which initially defined all the things you could or couldn't do, schools were not really considered a proper beneficiary of urban renewal. However, I think, we're not operating strictly under federal rules now, and that's a possibility that you could. What they did was where there is a benefit which was of general concern to the community as a whole or general benefits to the community as a whole, the federal government permitted something like 20 or 25% of that to be paid for with urban renewal funds. And I think, and that's true of a lot of things. For instance, you mentioned the county buildings here. Generally, I don't think, when you're benefiting the county, it's of general benefit to the community as a whole. And I think that you can go on a kind of a percentage basis. It's not in the statute. We talked about it before the legislature from time to time. And people have raised the question, can you build a city hall? I don't think it's appropriate. Can you build a ballpark? I don't think it's really appropriate. It's that kind of issue you have here. And I think it's a closer question. I think in this case, it's clearly not permitted.
Thank you. And we also recognize that our charter doesn't speak about education, so we're not addressing whether it would be permissible under the charter, but we're looking at the state and federal law question.
You have to understand that an urban renewal agency, when acting as an urban renewal agency, acts solely pursuant to state law, not the charter. The charter simply created the Development Commission and designated it as the urban renewal agency under Chapter 457. Thereafter, it had separate powers. The Development Commission has separate powers. But those are not urban renewal powers. They are derived strictly from ORS 457, and you have to find it there.
And one other question, sir. There's been some commentary in the press and here about a slippery slope and about a precedent being set and the absence of any coherent boundaries in terms of where we'd go from here. In reviewing the materials, though, I went back and looked at the underlying ordinance or resolution, which does set forth some specific limitations on the ability of future councils to consider a satellite district. And it has to do with specifically the timing has to be a mature district after 10 years, and there has some limitations on the amount of money and other things. Is it your view that those limitations have no effect and are meaningless, or would you acknowledge that they do, in fact, limit what the council can do with respect to satellite districts going forward?
I don't think they can permit satellite districts at all, period. I think it has to be contiguous. I think that I don't know if any, there's two projects which have existed in the state of Oregon, which I know were non-contiguous. One was divided up later on, that was in Oregon City. One here was separated by a river, and I think that was highly questionable. I don't know one in the United States which has been non-contiguous.
And finally, Mayor, if I may, I haven't had a chance to review the materials you just submitted to us, but since you're here, I think it's worth asking. I think the original vote on this matter was 5-0 by the council. We're now coming back to review the next step. Assuming this council, by a majority vote, moves forward on this, is it your intention, as the petitioners here today, to take further legal action on this point? Is it your intention to go to LUBA or exercise other rights?
Well, that's not my decision. There's a group that's organized, and I think that the intention is in that direction if they intend to proceed. But that's not from my decision.
The group has, and I'm not the leader of this group. I got promoted there. But the decision is we have consensus on the material and the testimony that we submitted today, specifically on the letter, the written material. And the decision about whether or not to legally challenge the plan is one that we have not yet made.
Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, folks.
Next three are Shelley Lorenzen, Paul Verhoeven, and Veronica Bernier. And then they'll be followed by Marion Haynes.
Thank you for being here. State your name when you speak. You each have 3 minutes.
Good afternoon, Mayor Potter and commissioners. My name is Shelley Lorenzen. I'm with the League of Women Voters. I just would like to say, as a matter of process, it's amazing to me that we are talking about more than we're talking about doubling the amount of urban renewal debt in our city from $600 million to $1,200 million. I mean, to 12 million, $600 million to 1,200.
$1.2 billion.
Sorry. And we have our mayor-elect is missing and another council member. And I just think it's unfortunate that we have scheduled this hearing on a day when we don't have full council present. The numbers that we are talking about indebting the city to are so enormous, I think that it should be heard by all five commissioners. 4 years ago, when the urban renewal district for downtown waterfront was set to expire, the league proposed, we thought the district should end, but recognized that Old Town Chinatown needed more urban renewal investment. We proposed at that time that the downtown would expire and Old Town Chinatown would be folded into the river district as many acres as would be permitted by law, which would have been 61, and that The significant amount of the remaining revenues to be spent in the River District be redirected to Old Town Chinatown. Well, that council at that time was very enthusiastic, unanimously endorsed that idea, sent it to the PDC and said, can we do this? Is the league right? The PDC commission appointed a committee. They studied the issue and concluded that, yes, indeed, that could happen. The matter then languished for 4 years, and here we are today. We sometimes say we feel like we've opened Pandora's box, because the idea was to not more than double the indebtedness of the River District, more than triple the negative effect on the affected taxing jurisdictions. We're going from $70 million lost revenues to the city, to the county, to the schools under the original $225 million indebtedness. Now, with more than doubling the debt, we are coming to a $200 million hit to each of those jurisdictions. And I find that, you know, absolutely extraordinary. This is not, you've heard a lot of talk about blight today. This is not about blight. This is about this. The whole basis for this proposal has been that the River District is a success and let's use that money to do more. That is not how urban renewal is supposed to work. You're supposed to work yourself out of the job. We've gone from $300 million in assessed value to almost $1.5 billion. If we end the district on time, 4 years from now, they say the debt could be paid off. Over $1 billion in new assessed value could go back on the rolls and the taxes flow to the appropriate taxing jurisdictions. Instead, we're talking about extending it out 20 years and foregoing an amazing amount of revenues. Mayor Potter, may I just say, as a matter of also as process, you know, you have invited guests that have unlimited time to speak, and those who have a different perspective on the issue are limited to 3 minutes on a very complex question, and it's really very frustrating.
Well, I'm sure it is. It's probably frustrating for everybody, but we do have to have things done in an orderly and timely manner, so thank you.
Thank you very much. Hi. Good morning, Mayor Potter. You're looking well this morning, as usual. It's one of our handsomest mayors, I think, we've had so far, with the exception of Bud Clark. But anyway. Okay, good. That'll work. Good morning, Commissioner Seltzman. You're doing well, really, with the park and rec and the trees. The trees are looking better and happier. And Commissioner Nick Fish took a hasty exit. He probably needs a cup of coffee. This has been an overly long meeting, and I'm going to make mine short but sweet. It's 12:30, and I understand the issues. I just have to say this, that from a historical point of view, Portland has roots that go way back, enduring throughout the lifespan, and have important relevance for the future. Historical preservation of these buildings in that district has merit, and when they are remodeled, as in what we would like to advocate really is the entire opposite point of view that this board has been going. We want to encourage vintage restoration and Victorian consultation and architectural planning, and mainly restoring the older architects' views of those districts. The reference is to Hoffman and Schiller, and also Bill Weinberg, an older friend of mine from the Haight-Ashbury, who has worked in amazing extents in restoring Victorians and 1920s, 30s, and 40s era buildings. He has an expert hand with it, and I think that people like that can really support our built environment. New isn't always better. I always say retro to the old to pick up solutions for the present, and I think this is true. We all love the older buildings, according to Portland State University urban planning professor Dr. Seymour Adler, and also Mrs. Ruth Skinner, psychology department, and Kim Hardy, one of our best Consul General de France instructors. Older buildings are fine just the way they are, with a little bit of touching up. And also, my former professor, Antonio Giuliano, who is Italian, you can tell Northern Italian, but anyway, Antonio Giuliano always said that buildings breathe, and the older buildings seem to breathe better when the people are around. And of course, the health of a building is important. When you first walk into these old Victorians, you can tell the timeless, ageless quality of them. So we're for restoring the old and keeping it that way, and I just wanted to support that idea. Thanks a lot. Opposing point of view, equal time.
Good morning, Mayor and Commissioner Saltzman. Paul Verhoeven, I'm Executive Director of Portland Saturday Market, and I serve as the co-chair of the Old Town Chinatown Land Use Committee. I want to touch on a couple things, and I want to just kind of leave out the satellite district out of this. I think a lot of the testimony we've heard, I haven't heard anybody argue against the legality or the wisdom of adding acreage in Old Town to the River District. It's contiguous with the River District's existing boundaries, and I think it's well within the laws to do that. It's important, I think, as the League of Women Voters has brought up, to finish the work in Old Town, and I think this is a way to do it. I would argue with anybody who doesn't think that there's blight to be dealt with in Old Town to come down and spend a day with me, and I'd be glad to take them around and show them the properties we're talking about. There's some key catalytic opportunities that are before us still in Old Town to finish. We have the fish blocks across from the Chinese Garden. We have Block 25, where the Blanchet House is. It's a full block that is Blanchet's on an eighth of the block, and the rest of it's PDC property now that's been sitting underused as a parking lot for years that now has a chance. We have Block R across from the Greyhound station that's been sitting vacant for ever since they tore the whole hotel down there. It's probably 20 years or more. We've got Blocks 8 and 13, the Import Plaza, old Import Plaza building, and the lot across the street from it that are surface parking lots and an old underused building. And we've got the Goldsmith blocks, a full block parking lot that has the chance of getting the Oriental grocery store on it. This work wouldn't be possible without tax increment funding. Old Town neighborhood is unique, and it's important because it has two historic districts in it. And also it has a lot of the social services that serve the downtown and the city as a whole. If the city treasures these things, historic districts and providing social services, the city as a whole has an obligation to help us in the neighborhood make this work. And the proposals before you today to annex this into the River District, I think, will help meet these goals. So the Old Town neighborhood supports these goals. The Land Use Committee supports these amendments, and I urge you to approve them. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our last person for 8:15 is Marion Haynes.
Good afternoon, Mayor and Commissioners. My name is Marion Haynes, and I represent the Portland Business Alliance. My testimony will speak to the next agenda item as well. The Alliance supports the use of urban renewal as a critical economic and community development tool for the city. Urban renewal, though focused on specific geographic areas within the city, ultimately benefits the entire community. Through the use of tax increment, the city can leverage private investment, which increases property values and revenues that flow to the city, county, and schools to support critical services. We participated in this process from the beginning, and while we originally had called for early defeasance of actually downtown and South Waterfront, what became quickly evident was that the needs far outstripped the resources that were available. We do support the expansionary amendment, as it is critical to moving forward with significant redevelopment opportunities in Old Town Chinatown along Burnside Cooch and the retail core, along with other projects that are in the current boundary. Urban renewal resources will help ensure the financial feasibility of these critical projects and allow them to move forward in a timely manner. We encourage you to ensure that the plan findings are adequately described per urban renewal statutes to be in full compliance. With respect to the satellite amendment, the Alliance has previously expressed and continues to have concerns. We applaud the city for acknowledging and looking for solutions for David Douglas. The business community, in partnership with the city, has financially supported all of Portland's schools numerous times over the past several years. We fully support a strong educational system as critical to the community's quality of life and economic vitality. However, we remain concerned that the satellite district may be beyond what is authorized in urban renewal statutes. This is a significant departure from traditional use of urban renewal throughout the city and the state and raises issues regarding its legality. We believe the legal question of whether a satellite district is authorized by statute should be settled before moving forward. To not do so could jeopardize or delay David Douglas's plans, which would not benefit anyone in the long run. Urban renewal has been authorized by the state of Oregon for over 15 years. During that time, it has helped accomplish numerous economic and community development goals. The expansion will allow this to continue. But a proposed use of non-contiguous districts is a radical departure from historic use and intent of urban renewal law. We are concerned about the impacts of such a departure on the integrity of urban renewal in the city of Portland and the entire state of Oregon. We recognize there are needs throughout the city. Urban renewal is not the only tool at the city's disposal and is not the appropriate tool in this circumstance. Thank you.
Mayor, may I ask one question?
Yes.
And I apologize.